here at the Old City Swans.
Welcome back to A Bevy of Bloods, a fan podcast of the Sydney Swans Football Club.
So to all you loyal Swans out there, just can't get enough of the red and the white.
Fluff up your tail feathers and settle in for a potentially biased yarn about all things to do with our beloved Bloods.
G'day there, Cygnus and Swanlings. Welcome back to A Bevy of Bloods. You're joined as always by the boys from Sydney. I'm Chris and this is Noddy.
That's right, you lucky loyal Swans fans. In this review episode, we're going to be chatting about the win against the Eagles. And remember, if you happen to enjoy what we do, make sure to give us a like and a follow. Okay, let's kick things off with a quick game recap.
Last Saturday afternoon in front of 9,000 fans at the Mount Barker Field, the MCG of Adelaide Hills, our Sydney Swans defeated the West Coast Eagles by 26 points with a final score of 11-12-78 to 15-14-104. Noddy, gather round. What a place. What a time to be alive. It looked incredible. What were your impressions from that game?
Oh, I mean, it looked awesome, didn't it? The ground looked amazing. The weather seemed nice. There was a bit of a breeze. Clearly, the crowd was into it, almost 10,000. I mean, everyone was talking about how good the ground was, as big as the MCG of the Adelaide Hills. I don't know. The one for me, it just kind of reminded me a little bit of the SCG camera angle, except it was from the side. So it was an even kind of trickier angle to watch the game on from the TV, but
it wasn't quite centered, I feel, either.
So yeah, it was kind of to the right of it, but still like a low angle. But it kind of made that long shot hard to see who the players on certain vantages. But I mean, obviously, it was fine. You know, they had enough close ups and you kind of follow what's going on. But I mean, look, other than that, it's gather round, right? Yeah, gather round, people, and I'll tell you a story of how how amazing South Australia is.
I tell you what, Adelaide Hills would have got, those wineries would have got an absolute workout finally. That would have been fun.
Absolute schooners workout. Of red wine flowing freely.
Pints and imperial pints. We're talking about South Australia here. Imperial pints of red wine would have been flowing, no doubt.
Goodness.
On the game itself, though.
Yeah, mate. Obviously, we had a lot of young mids. We'll go through it. It was pretty much a game of halves. First half, you know, basically we got beaten, and second half we came out and played a lot better. We didn't take our chances in first quarter. They were legit good in the second. Third and fourth, we came back and played some pretty good footy. But it wasn't... It wasn't the walk in the park that people were expecting, was it?
No, it wasn't. And you made crystal clear last week that if we let up and we have expectations of how this is going to be a rollover, we would be surprised. And the only people that were surprised, sorry, the only people that weren't surprised that they were competitive were the Bevy, because we pointed this out a bunch of times to say that at the end of the day, they're going to take an opportunity like this to when someone might have their guard down, maybe not in a home turf, you know, at a bit of a gather around situation, a bit more relaxed, you know, go in there, be competitive as hell. No one was really thinking of the Eagles to come up, and they came out firing and they played as good as they had played in the last year and a half. So, I mean, as we said, any AFL team can play decently, and you know, McGovern was a big part of that, and Harley Reid, of course. How many times they want to mention Harley Reid?
Did Harley Reid play in that game? I can't remember because it was incessant. It was like, okay, here's a little bit of a conspiracy theory without notice. Why do the commentators, often, I'm assuming Victorians, get so... They're so quick to announce where Victorians are from when they're playing for a non-Victorian team. The country Victorian playing for West Coast Eagles. It's like you know, these other towns have stolen their sons and daughters. And the great homecoming awaits. You know, it's like, I don't know.
It reminds me of, you know, 12th Man, when they have Bill, and every time, oh, he goes, oh, he's a Victorian. Good on him. Like, it kind of feels a bit like that.
It definitely has that vibe for sure. I had no idea that was a pretty decent impersonation, mate.
Thank you.
Yeah, these secret skills.
Every opportunity, you're like, you wouldn't know what a proud Victorian is because you're not one. And I think it kind of felt like that. But Kelly Underwood is a South Australian, and she was actually quite good because she was pointing out at every opportunity, every player that was playing for South Australia at the time. I guess this is a big South Australia love fest, so it was all fine and good. So for that,
I even looked up where Langhorne Creek is because that was a big deal made out of this is Maddie Roberts' hometown. Yeah. It's 25 minutes down the road, mate. So from Mount Barker, I guess that's pretty close.
He's a local
in terms
boy,
of
local boy. And so is Haywood as well, I think.
Haywood's from SA as well, yeah. One thing I want to say is that the Eagles this year coming into the game, and people might not know this, but they're ranked sixth in the league for clearances. Wow. Winning clearances.
Yeah.
Right. They were dead last year. So that's just one off the bat where they're all of a sudden, you know, they're doing some pretty cool things, right? So it's only a matter of time before they really upset, you know, teams. And look, to be honest, I was reflecting on this and trying to think about, you know, obviously how I felt during the game. I felt dread in the first half because it was like a mix of those emotions, like, not going to be easy, but you kind of hope that we're going to play well. But they were playing so well and we were struggling to keep up, certainly in the second quarter. And then when we came out in the third and fourth, it was like, oh, cool. Yeah, got the job done. We played some good footy. There were some highlights. Mm. But at the end of the game, I was like, I'm just kind of glad we won.
I didn't want to be a meme, I think.
What's that?
I didn't want to be a meme. I didn't want this to be like Sydney's a laughing stock for being one of the few teams that could ever lose to the Eagles. And it definitely felt like that in the first half. And I mean, the bevy chat was going absolutely apeshit because it was like a lot of concern that we're on our way to being a meme. And I was... Yeah, but
that was that collective dread. You could kind of sitting in our tummies, like, "Shit, are we going to lose to the Eagles?" Yeah, it was that kind of like, "This is going to be a really bad weekend." But
I mean, look, rewatching the game, they were competitive. Like, don't really get me wrong, we left the door open because we didn't kick straight in the first. I think we kicked like 30-something%.
Oh man, so they were so gettable as well. It was like how many? Yes. We had 9 set shots and only kicked 3.
That's
another point, mate. We are I think we're quite low in that ranking. I read it somewhere. I don't know where it's gone, but
that's okay. Let me look for it.
Real issue for us this year. Like, we're really not converting our set shots. Like, we're obviously making up for the fact that we've got a lot of avenues to goal. We're getting a lot of shots on goal, which is positive, but we're not banking our set shots, and that's going to come back and bite us certainly at some point in the season. But I was that first quarter. I mean, I think Steve-O made the point, if we'd actually kicked those gettable set shots, then, you know, it's probably 36-0 potentially. Yeah. They put on a stack of pressure, right, which led to that first goal from Reed. Their pressure rating was like 2,000
infinite as far as we're concerned. It went off the chart,
so. Through the roof, right? We were talking about this, right? The copying the Tigers game plan. So did they copy Tigers game plan? Are we tired from such a great start, or was it Don Pike having a bit of a factor here, like Stewie Jew with the Suns previously? So
That's a good question, mate. I think it's for this kind of gameplay where you're reliant on the skill sets of the players. So we're reliant on guys to have super sharp kicks, even the guys who are around the ball. You know, you're looking at Heaney, you're looking at Chatty. They're expected to nail their kicks as well as being inside. And when you put a fair bit of pressure on the other users as well, the outside ball users, Juzzy, your Gordons, then, you know, Ollie, Blakey, you're going to find that applying the pressure in the right place is going to have a lot of effect. And it's no secret of who our sharp users are. So it's a good question you ask, because I don't really know whether this is something that's hard to do, hard, like the pressure is hard to apply, for, like the tactic is hard to apply for against Sydney. But I think we have a way around it because we can always play that second way. And I guess that's what you're saying there with Pikey. Like, do we have something to fall back on? If we're not able to get the ball rolling forward with speed, with the quality of ball use that we normally would have at a halfback, what do we do thereafter? What is our second game plan? I didn't see us needing to necessarily run off one in this game, but, you know, some other teams who can apply that pressure a bit better might be able to do that to us.
Yeah, Polly made the point that, that, you know, obviously it was such a big thing last year that us running out of steam in games. Mm. It seemed, and especially with the way that this year has started, where it's been pretty close in the first half, but we've then managed to sort of kick away in the third or the fourth or combo of both. I don't know if that would be a conscious thing, as in, like, you know, just sort of stick with them in the first half and let's really expend our energy in the second half. Or you know, or it's just happening organically. I don't know. After, you know, it was, as I said, the dread was there. I was looking for, like, I was like YouTube clips, like coaches spraying players because they're not playing well enough. And Tommy Radonikis came up. I was like, yeah, that'll do.
I saw that, mate. Because I'm a Campbelltown boy myself, and I remember the Radonikis days and just that absolute meathead and not real taste.
We better explain this for the out-of-towners.
Oh, you're right. So Tommy Radonikis was the coach of New South Wales State of Origin team as well as the Western Suburbs Magpies back in the heyday.
This is rugby league, yeah?
Rugby league, late 80s, early 90s, I'd guess that. And when back in those days, it was like, you know, you hit your mate with a schooner to wake him up kind of thing. That was a fucking hardened days. And Noddy found this fantastic clip of the players just basically punching on before the game started to get themselves kind of wired up for the game. Suggesting that's what we needed at halftime.
Oh, just a good old-fashioned Tommy Radonikis session. Just get in there, slap each other, wake up, let's play. I found that thing, mate. It wasn't 9 set shots on goal, sorry, in the first quarter. It was 9 shots. I think actually, we are ranked 9th at the moment. Only scoring 50% of our set shots on goal. So I guess dead middle, 50%, you'd probably want a little bit more, but obviously we're kicking a lot of goals and we're kicking a lot of behind, so that's a positive anyway. So anyway, mate, I don't know. We just keep going back to the fact that the Eagles were legitimately good for a whole quarter, certainly. The second one that they won their first quarter this year. I don't know when the last time they won a quarter was last year. I didn't go back, but you have to give it to them. I mean, you know, and credit where credit's due. Harley Reid did play well, but so did Yo, and so did Jimby, and so did Tim Kelly. I think we did a bit of a job on Tim Kelly. Did you see a bit of attention there from us on Tim Kelly?
I did, yeah. And then when he started getting loose again in that second, I think they sent someone over to him again. I think Robbie had a job on him.
Kicked a very good goal at the end of the game, off pretty much a couple of steps.
I mean, so, he is Chilean, so for any of the listeners out there, I am Chilean background, and he is the only Chilean in the game, so I have a little bit of a soft spot for him. So
he's basically your favourite player outside of the Swans.
Is he? Yeah.
Let's be real here, mate. You're like, every time he touches, he's like, he's Chilean. He's so cool.
You know what? That guy should play for the Swans. There's not many Chileans in South Australia, in Western Australia, to be fair. They're all in the west of Sydney.
So he's a good player. He's a very good player. And obviously the Eagles went all in for him, right? And three first round picks or whatever it was to get him out of Geelong, and
he's so classy,
that's coming to bite him in the ass now. And then there's talk of priority picks and stuff. But I mean, that's digressing a bit, obviously, away from the game review. But yeah, I mean, that just shows the respect that you have for a player like that. You really have to watch him. I mean, they've got like a lot of grand finalists still in the team. You know, it's just you already mentioned McGovern, Barras, Cripps, him.
Darling has been well.
Darling as well,
he really had a shocker, man. I think he's had a shocker this entire year. So
yeah, I think probably he's. I don't know what his situation. I think he might be out of contract this year, but I think obviously they're a team without confidence. But I think a game like that for them, might even, you know, put them on the right path. As I said, I think they're going to knock off some teams this year. Yep. If they can play two to three quarters like the pressure they had in that second quarter, they're going to give teams a lot of trouble. And we kind of spoke about this against the Tigers, didn't we? I think everyone, all the Swans fans, were taking that way too easily, and they came out and, you know, showed everyone how to beat our precise ball movement. And so it's up to us now, right? I mean,
I think, what do we take away from this? I think Tigers played really well, really good football, and we only lost against them, I think, by five, right? The Eagles play the best football that they had for over a year, and we still beat them convincingly, although it wasn't convincing in the first half. And I kind of felt that we kind of cracked the door open and let them in a bit. So I think there's still a lot of really positives to say. And I mean, I don't want to talk about where we are in the ladder now, but I think where we are positioned in the team and the way that the team is structured and the players we have in the certain positions, there's not a lot of questions to be asked. And we also do have some fantastic players to come in, right? We've still got Millsy, Parker to come in. So we still have so much to go. And we haven't been hit by too many. I mean, we've been hit by injuries at the beginning of the season before we even started. But where we are now, we've been in a pretty good place. So Rampy out is a big one. I still feel we're missing a cool head in the back line there. We're missing that person who knows when to go deep, when to come up, when to assist, when to contest.
Rampy seems to hold that, doesn't he? He's sort of, like, obviously there's the three experienced players in the back there, Rampy, Lloyd and Cunners. But I don't know if we need all three to fire in terms of communication and structure. But, you know, obviously even with one out, like as we saw in the Essendon game, Cunningham goes down. We held it together, but it wasn't quite. I don't know if it's mental. Maybe it's mental, mate. Maybe it's just in my head. Like, I don't know. And I mean, obviously, there's Lloyd is one of these. I guess he's got his fans and he's got his haters for some reason. But you know, these three players are big favourites of the coaching unit. And you know, obviously, Cunners sat out his concussion, but it was quick to come back in, right? And it shows you how important he is for structure, especially when Rampy's out. So I don't know if we need all three to maintain, because we're a bit leaky, right? That was the point I was sort of leading to. Like, you know, the Eagles doubled their score on us last year. I mean, it was an absolute bloodbath, that 171-point shellacking. Okay. But it was also, yeah, well, 205 to whatever it was, 34 or whatever. Mm. But the you know, they scored more points against us than Melbourne did and Collingwood did, right? Essendon and us, it's always a bit of a shootout. They scored 100 on us, but up until now, what were the Tigers? The Tigers 82 as well, so a little bit more than 82, the Eagles.
11 goals, 16 behind. So, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of shots at goal. That's 27 shots. Like.
But the Eagles weren't. They, I mean, they scored against us. So that to me, I mean, look, getting the win. Is the best thing here, especially leading into the bye. We're going to talk about you know, what it means to us in the implication of the season. I don't know. I just think I think the Eagles are getting better, and I don't know if people realize this. And I think they're going to surprise some teams this year.
I know people are frustrated how often Harley Reid is mentioned and the hype around him, but he is genuinely a proper talent. Like, he is very, very, very good.
Yeah, and one of the AFL boys call it the effective fend-off. It's going to be a new stat in EFO. Champion data.
Yeah, yeah. That's not bad.
It's an effective fend-off. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that was Dusty kind of... I mean, there have been players over the journey that have been sort of famous for fending, but my mind immediately goes to Dusty in recent history. But it seems like this Harley Reid guy, as an 18 or 19-year-old or whatever he is very strong and seems to build his game around pushing off players. I mean, at one point he flicked off Heaney and he flicked off Rowie. We were both just like, God.
We were just like, wow, like, not many people flick off Rowie. Like, that's a thing in itself. So
yeah. Speaking of Heaney and Rowie and some of the good things we did, how bloody good is Isaac Heaney, the Heat?
Okay. The best start of any player historically at this point.
He's the fourth man since 2006 to poll more than 40 votes in his first five games. The others were Gablett Jr. in 2009, Fife in 2015, and Neil in 2020. Those three all won Brownlows in those years.
So at this point, he is favourite for Brownlow. So no jinxing.
Yep.
He is looking fantastic. And it doesn't look like he's necessarily labouring through it either. Like, it looks like he's so natural in that position. Looks like he's so natural getting around the ground. Like, he's just playing his game where they've said, you know what, you don't have any rules. Your job is just to get around and play your game. And he's looking so free and chill about it.
Yeah. 26 disposals, 92% efficiency.
92% efficiency for an inside mid. Come on.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah. 17
contested. Get out of here.
Yeah. All right, what has he got here? Seven clearances, six tackles. Is the best Swan for clearances. He had highest tackles along with Errol and Chad, and two goals. Thank you very much. Just a couple of nice goals there to add to the amazing. What do you have? Four goal assists.
Yep.
So
on his goals, and I'm pumping the brakes a little bit. His goals were the ones where, like, some speed into that forward line where he was running into it and managed to just, like, brush off an opponent. I might have said it the week before, but definitely I feel we are still way too slow in that forward line. I think we've only got four contested marks for the whole game. For the whole game, four contested marks. We've got blokes like Grundy, McLean, Amati, Logan, like a lot of tours in this team, and we're getting four per game.
Like, I feel like we dropped a lot of marks though in this game.
Yeah,
like just, it hit hands and then just went to the ground. I was like, what is going on? Last week, Marty couldn't drop the thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's all that fresh country air.
That fresh country air got to them. They need a bit more pollution in Moore Park. They need a couple of highways and a cross city tunnel to kind of, you know, get the ball a bit stickier from that pollution. I just feel that we are missing speed in there. And I think he was there for all the 5 minutes and then scores a couple. Like, I think that's just a telling as well of where we are with that. I would like to see us go a little bit smaller. And if it goes not necessarily to a small, but to a mid-size forward, I'd like to see a little bit more of that. Be fair.
I guess we don't have too many other options in there, but especially with all the Wicksgate shit going on.
Wicksgate. Yeah. I mean, we don't really know the details of that, but all we know is that he's still not playing in the side and we kind of would like to have him in it.
Oh, we've got some gossip. Don't you mind. we've got some theories.
Theories you haven't. Yeah,
should we just throw people under the bus with these unfounded rumours? No, let's not do it. We're classier than that.
Yeah.
I'd love to, though.
Oh, I'd just make them up and just
make them up.
To the ether. No. But I think
that Heaney had Swan's High Pressure Act 23.
Yeah, so Gordon, he's doing everything.
22, Fox,
defense,
21.
Offense, in the middle, contested. Unbelievable. He's high. It's just perfect. Perfect.
You have to keep him in the midfield, even when Mills and Parker come back. You have 100%. To.
Yep. Send him up forward. I mean, Millsy.
Millsy could go back.
Yeah, back a bit. But then, you know, Parker, we know how good he is up forward. I'd love to. He's exactly the kind of player I'd love to see a bit more up forward.
Yeah. There. Yeah. I mean, look, okay, there's a lot of contract talk going around at the moment. Obviously, we ticked Rowie off. The next ones to go are obviously Goulden, Logan, Hayward's in the news now. But Goulden, right, there's some other clubs circling. But he had a bloody good game as well, didn't he?
Oh, mate. 25 disposals, 21 of them kicks. Now, that's one thing that Steve-O pointed out pretty clearly last year, and we've got a reel running around somewhere where we just broke down his first 3 years and how his kicking ratio had increased and his efficiency and his effect in the game has increased along the way. So, Gordon, 25 disposals, 21 of them being kicks. So, it's only four handballs amongst them all. Six clearances, 719 meters gained, and two goals. He was as dangerous as we've seen him. and consistent across the whole game as well. And at every single time during the game, it felt like he was in a lot of places of support as well. So not necessarily just being an outlet for offense. He was absolutely everywhere. A really good game by him.
He kicked 2-2. Those two behinds, I know one of them was a poster. Did he kick two posters? There were four posts. There were four posts by us in the game.
He missed. He had one running into a pocket.
That's right. Yeah. So one of them was a post. Yeah. So look, I don't know if it was the breeze or whatever, but yeah, there was certainly some inaccuracy there. But I mean, Gordon looked fantastic. Some of those transitions from defensive 50 to forward 50 involving Heaney. I actually just morphed the two of them together there. I don't know if you
morphed
heard that.
Heat and Heaney. That's not bad.
Heat and Gulden.
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
It's basically like they were just running amok. It was those two guys were like clear best for us, and I think that reflected in the coaches' votes. But Grundy had a good game. Rowie had a good game. Chad had a great game. But if we look at Brundy, is this what we're running with? Brundy. He's constantly looking over his shoulder for blue bottles, but we have to remind him that they only live in the ocean. But
he keeps getting confused.
Not too many blue bottles in Mount Barker, I think. But maybe you don't know.
Fossilized.
Robbo would know that as a local. Yeah. I think 20 disposals, 14 contested possessions, 31 hitouts, 5 score involvements, 8 clearances. Another solid game. Obviously, the Eagles have, what was it, Williams, Bailey Williams, and who else was chopping in? Jack Williams, Darling. I don't know. It's not like they've got a, you know, league-leading ruck, but still, you know, I think... When we got our shit together, basically in the second half, I thought Brody Grundy was very effective, and his clearance work especially, I think, getting us forward I think he was a big part of it.
Well, he's moving on the ground. When the ball hits the ground, he's as hungry as any mid. Like he's brilliant at it. Like I think when we went and watched their the VFL game after the. What was that? After the 150th, I think, Noddy, you and me went on that Thursday.
Yeah.
We watched the game. What really impressed me in seeing him like super close was just the speed that as soon as the ball hits the ground, he's like crab running, you know, getting down the ground, doing a little bit of a crab run sideways to get to the ball before the other ruckman's even like starting to bend over. So I think that's a massive skill set, just his speed to get down to the ball. And he really showed it. And he's just getting more touches off the ball that way and being more effective and getting the ball out to the outsiders. So, yeah, super good. I mean, he hasn't kicked his first goal yet, has he? I don't think he has.
I don't think so. No. I don't think so, mate. That'll be one for the homework list.
I'm looking forward to that, actually.
But, yeah, look, obviously speaking of first goals for the club, Adams.
Yes.
Bloody good. I think he came in and had a pretty good game, mate. Like coming back from injury, just sort of steadied the ship, get some age and experience in there. He didn't, you know, set the world on fire, but kicked, what he kicked, one, two goals?
One goal, I think.
1-1 or something like that.
With him, you're right. Like although he didn't, like, he wasn't doing super flashy things, he was such a calm influence. So when... You know, the ball had just been churning itself up. It came up to him. He popped his head up and just kicked someone, you know, hit them right in the chest, you know, only 20 out. And it wasn't a fancy kick. It wasn't going like some insane kick that like Blakey would be able to do through the corridor or anything. It was just settle the ship, hit that guy in the chest and then like work it out from there. He just seemed to be under the firing line. He's just really sharp. And that's a leader. And you're like a guy with a lot of experience. You kind of want that in the game. So, yeah, super happy. Hoping that he gets way more game time because I think so, mate.
Yeah. Like if he's got that, I mean, he's bringing so much to the team. You know, the rest is just going to be form and hopefully a good run of health. But especially, you know, while we still wait for Parker and Millsy and co to come back. But look, I don't know, like. There were a few stats that we could talk about, but really for me it was just the Eagles' pressure and then our ability to get above that, work hard to beat that in the second half. So yeah, I don't know, missed opportunities in the first quarter. They played really well in the second, and then second half we did some more of that typical Sydney stuff, you know, that sort of really nice ball usage and all that sort of stuff. I don't know. I did read somewhere that we'd only lost like 6 1-on-1. Where was it? 1-on-1 defensive things in. So we're like ranked third in the league. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't as if they had, you know, like Lynch, who was like huge for the Tigers last week, right? So, you know, we already touched on Darling.
He did a number on us.
Yeah.
He's going to do a number in any team because he's brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, well, he did get his teeth knocked out, right?
McGovern, that was bloody hilarious.
Jesus.
And he just hands the trainer a couple of teeth.
Yeah.
So, wasn't there a boxer who knocked Mayweather's teeth and then he put it on a necklace?
Yeah, one of the boxers fought Mayweather, knocked a tooth out, and then someone saved it and he made a necklace of it.
I wonder if that trainer's going to do the same thing for McGovern.
Who was it that he ran into? It was either Rowe or Gordon.
I don't know. I saw the close-up of him and then him go Campbell. To his mouth and then hand off passing a couple of Tic Tacs over.
Yeah, it's Campbell. So I feel Campbell's owed a necklace at this point.
Campbell, mate, just quickly, question without notice.
Please.
And this is, we might talk about this today, or we might talk about it next week. There's going to be a big squeeze on for positions when some of these other senior guys do come back. Mm. What is Braden Campbell's best position?
It's hard to know, isn't it? Because we know he puts really nice pressure on around the ball. We know that he can kick a good goal. He's got a great boot on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't necessarily need to be in the 50. We've seen him kick ones from like 70 on the line. But he's also a sharp kick, so having his ability to be in the back line is really good. I don't know. This is really tricky. Do you think the coaches are not sure either, so they just keep throwing him half forward, half back, like one after the other, to see what happens and see where he's more natural? Or are we doing him a disservice by not plugging him into a spot?
Well, I don't know. That's the thing, because like obviously Errol's shining, right? And he's sort of been inside, outside, but mostly around the wing. He played a little bit of forward in his first year, I think, but he's mostly been around the, you know, whereas Braden has, you know, started down back and, you know, he's sort of come up onto the wing a bit more, but he looks so damaging when he comes forward. He's just got this unbelievable goal sense, I think. Yeah. But whether or not, I don't know. It just popped in my mind there. And
does he have the speed? Like he doesn't. I don't think his speed is his skill set.
I don't know. He would be able. He to looks be like him. He should be though.
Quite. Yeah, he's kind of stocky, but he's kind of small, isn't he? He's got the look of a speedy guy. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
Anyway, let's watch with the keenness, breath. Obviously. Keenness. But yeah, I'm let's sure kick on.
Yeah. Very quickly, Bob Mennell. I know a lot of people kind of touch base about what we should do there. It is our equivalent of Bob Skilton medal, 3-2-1 points. Of course, everyone knows the spiel. 3 points to Heaney, 2 points to Gordon, 1 point to Burundi. So we just spoken about those three players. So they're the ones that get it. I think one of the players that probably missed out, a couple of players that missed out on a bit of a mention there would probably be Warner and Rowey. I felt that both of them played quite well. A bit unlucky not to get a point, but I feel Burundi was a little bit better. But they both had a good game as well. Not everyone can get biscuits.
When James, I think we made a joke about this last week, when James Rowbottom gets anything less than 10 tackles, has he even played footy?
That's right. He only got 6, which is equal best for the Swans.
I got 5. I've got 5 for him.
Right. Sorry, Chad and Errol and Heaney all got 6. You're right.
Yeah.
5 for Rowbottom. So I think I wouldn't want to go back and see when was the last time that Rowbottom didn't get first place for tackles in the Swans. I know it happened once this year, but it's not very often. So.
And how many missed tackles on Superman Harley Reid were that, you know, because he's maybe all those fend-offs, not all the fend-offs, certainly they weren't all on Rowe.
Greatest country Victorian to ever play the game.
Oh, my God. It's just going to get worse and worse, mate.
Yeah.
But good on him. He's clearly a good player.
Let's kind of crank on, mate. The game is solid. We're pretty happy. I mean, we're happy with the win. I mean, one of the things you mentioned against the Tigers was, would you be happy to win even though the way we played? And we came out to the conclusion, yes, we would. Just take the win. This is a little bit like that, although we did definitely shine in that second half, showed our style of play, and I was quite happy the way it went. We are coming in equal first on points, but third in for and against. And we are hitting our bye week this week. So no footy this week. There is footy this week. We'll talk about that in a moment. But no AFL for the Swannies this week. Noddy, how do you feel we've gone up until this point? Like the marker up until now, A, B, C or D mark for the Swannies at this point?
Mate, I think off the cuff, I think it's got to be somewhere near A, right? Clearly, we've played patches of amazing footy. If you'd asked me at the beginning of the season, from the first five games, would you be happy with 4-1, knowing who we were up against, I'd have been like, yes, sir, take my money. Yep. Not that it was a bet. I don't know. I'm just handing the stranger money for no reason here. But anyway. if they said you want 4-1 or 3-2, I'd take 4-1, right? So I don't know. I think we've set ourselves up so well. Obviously, we've got the bye in round 5. It's one of two byes we have this year. Next one will be in round 12, right? So we've gotten through what looked like a nightmare start to the season, sitting pretty well. Obviously, it would be fantastic if we were 5-0, you know, if we'd managed to pinch that from the Tigers. But, you know, obviously, you know, we weren't lucky there, but still 4-1 is bloody good. And I think, yeah, if you think of it in blocks of games, you know, we got through that really, really well. We're going to have a reset. And then the next 6 games from round 6 to 11, we play 4 teams who are currently in the top 8. So GWS, who are first, that's at home. Frio, who are 7th, that's away. Carlton, 4th at home. Western Bulldogs, 8th away. Now, of course, over the next few weeks, this can chop and change, but currently that's where they sit. The two teams that aren't in the top 8 are the Suns and Hawks.
And they are competitive.
They're competitive and they've caused us trouble in recent times, right? Yeah, this to me is as hard a block of games as that opening 5.
Yeah.
And I think that this is the one that's going to set up the season. I have looked at the remainder. I tried to break it into three blocks of 3. I don't know how the Swans do it, but mentally they'd sort of chop it up and say, okay, guys, this is the next month or so. These are our games. This is what we're trying to achieve. The next block of 6 is critical to the season. I mean, every game's critical, right? But I think the mental, I guess they'll be resetting and refreshing first with the bye, but then they'll be going through this and going, okay, look at this next chunk of games, look at where we are, look at who we're playing, where we're playing them, how they're playing, how we can beat them, what we can do better. So yeah, I like the next chunk of games is kind of all I can think about at the moment. But
And just keeping in mind as well, like we did this without Parker and Millsy, two of our mids that were at the time our inside mids, the ones that we were looking to drive that center.
And Gussie Sheldrick, I think, like, would probably be there.
That's a great point.
You know what I mean? Like, if it weren't for that bloody finger or something, frustrating for him. But look, yeah, I think, and this is a point we've been talking about in the group. So we mentioned Wicksgate before. It's hard to see him coming back. If he sat out 2 weeks in a row and there's no physical issue with him, and clearly there's a rift still or something going on, right? I don't know. So,
well,
but if you've got Parker and Adams playing that role of small forward, then I don't know. I think it's going to be tricky for Wicks to come back in. Sheldrick could also do that as well.
I agree. And even Taylor Adams, as we know, is likely going to be spending a bit of time up forward as well.
Yeah, so Parker and Adams, I think.
So, I mean, Parker, Adams, Millsy kind of filling up in the mids as well and going back a little bit. It's some serious selection questions to be asked. I guess it's really good that we managed to blood one on the way in at this point in the season, because we don't know when that necessarily might happen again.
You're talking about Mitchell?
Yes, exactly. Mitchell.
Yeah.
Really,
Warner's had a couple of games as well.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, yeah, we still got a few AFL level guys that can come in and step up as well, in back line and forwards as well. So, but for mids wise, we kind of have everyone there bar those two. So I think we're in a pretty sweet spot as well, if given what we've been managed to kind of showcase alongside with the injuries we've had. So pretty happy with the way we are.
Mm.
So anyway, a week off, it's kind of nice. I think the guys are kind of neat, especially given that they had to come into the game, into the season a little bit earlier with this round zero opening round buggery that they decided to run with.
Opening round. And on gather round and opening round, and you know, we on the group chat, there was someone had found documents that had been leaked by the AFL, and we weren't sure if it was a hoax or not, but it sounds like it's hit the media today that the AFL plans to do three gather rounds from 2028 when the Devils join the league. So opening round will be in Victoria and Tasmania, and then there'll be a gather round in New South Wales, and then a gather round in either SA or WA, to align with different times of the year, like school holidays and stuff like that.
I just find it weird. Like, I understand the success of it because it's once a year and everyone heads over to Adelaide. I just find it funny that we're going to like have three of them. Isn't that just like regular seasons?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if they can put that much energy into this sort of stuff, then surely they can figure out how to
bring in another
team and create a competition that's basically more equitable than the one that exists at the moment. I think they're just distracting us with shiny lights.
That'd be a decent start.
Sorry?
Or just work out what a head high is at this point. Like,
well, I mean, there's a lot of
effort going into this. I mean, just working out whether some things are behind or not would be a good starting
point. Well, yeah, I think they're working on that as well. There's some chip. They trialed chips in the balls in the preseason, so that might come into play next year. But yeah, look, I don't know. I mean, there was a good point. Like, I think, you know, someone made the point, would Sydney siders go and watch Fremantle and Carlton play? I don't know. Maybe not.
I mean, if I was a gather round, I'd be going to every single game.
Yeah, that's I think if you're a footy fan, you'd buy into it. And I think I think they're taking the view that, you know, the more you do this, the more it'll have like a positive snowball effect, right? But yeah, look, they'll do what they want to do, right? These guys, and they'll think it's the most. I mean, look, you know, the expansion cup is finally.
The expansion cup. Well, look, money talks, bullshit walks. If gather round's making them a good coin, then they're going to keep just flogging the living daylights out of it until it doesn't make them coin anymore. So I'm no surprise, I guess, that's where we are with it.
Mate, let's talk about very quickly, and I'm not super across it, so I'll pass over to you, the thing happening with Finlayson.
Right, so Finlayson gave out a homophobic slur during the game against the Bombers on the weekend. It was picked up by the umpires. The umpires were notified. I think the umpires notified the AFL. So did the Dons, and Finlayson himself then apologised for it during the game at three-quarter time, I feel. So they're trying to work out. There's been no mention, or there's been just absolute silence from the AFL of exactly what's going to happen from here. I think there's been a little bit of commentary, but not anything decisive. So I think from the Bevy's perspective, a slur is a slur. This is something that should be punished, and should be punished consistently. So I don't think that the AFL knows what they're going to do with this. And as Damien Barrett said, we keep walking past these moments. And he was referring to making a stand, or at least saying something about what our position is. The AFL is really good at just forgetting to have a spine. So let's find out what happens with it. From our perspective, let's adjudicate these things. Let's punish these things accordingly. We want to get this out of the game. It's just not appropriate in 2024.
Good stuff, mate. Agree. So I think there's been, by the time the Swans and the Giants play again in Sydney, there'll be something like a month of no footy in Sydney. And as Polly pointed out, there is footy in Sydney. There will be a VFLW game at Henson Park this Saturday at 1 p.m. Playing against the North Melbourne Kangaroos. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
So the Swannies girls who are playing, what is this, like a pre-season for them?
Yeah, basically, we ran out a good chunk of the AFLW team and hard runners, which really showed that they absolutely did a number on the Bulldogs this last weekend. So, yeah, they're effectively treating it like a preseason kind of run on as well.
Yeah, nice. So I think you and Polly will head to the game.
Oh, 100%. We'll be there. So Polly and I will be there. We'll be at the pub likely beforehand. So if you want to come and say hello, by all means, come and say hello. AFLW, VFLW in this instance, is always a great run for the fam. So should good be good. Stuff.
Awesome, mate. I'm just checking the diary. I'm pending. But I'd pending. Love to, Noddy is love pending. To
but you can't miss us. We're very recognisable, so come and say hello if you are there. We're always willing to have, always good to have a beer and talk about football for days on end. One thing, our own Swans superfan Sam, otherwise known as Swam, met up with the Errol Fan Club at Gather Round and did a great little interview with them. They were pretty fun. So shout out to them. Crackers, really good for them to get out there. They'll get a lot of fun, and I know there's about 1,000 Errol fan clubs out there, maybe a couple of flan clubs as well, but yeah, they're all kind of fun. So yeah, if you do see Sam when you do go to any of these games, in particular away games, and you're looking for a friendly Swans face, make sure to say hello. He would love to talk to anyone that's out there.
Absolutely, he rips it up every halftime for us. Halftime report legend.
Absolute legend. Well, look, that does bring us to the end of the episode. Thank you for listening in all the way to the end. If you've made it this far, hey, Noddy and I have done something pretty good. So please give us a like on whatever platform this is on and go find us on your favorite socials. Chances are you're going to see some fun stuff.
Otherwise, make sure to keep an eye out for more content during the week. Even though we've got the bye, we'll be putting some stuff out. And I've got a few thoughts rolling around about a trade period summary. Or trade summary rather, out of contract players and other targets that we're looking at. So hopefully I'll get that out sometime next week.
And as always, we look forward to seeing you wherever you are. We'll see you at Henson Park at the VFLW this weekend. But until then, up the Bloods and can you Swannies!